This is Josh Sumby, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Drayton, North Dakota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman, along with Randy Conan in studio. We'll have a report from Tyler Donaldson as well. President Trump comparing the U.S. economy to a sick patient when asked about the markets cratering on news of tariffs.
It's to be expected. This is a patient that was very sick. We really inherited a terrible economy, as you know, with a lot of problems, including loss of manufacturing and plants closed up all over the country. You know, we've lost 90,000 plants since NAFTA, if you think of that. 90,000, it's not even believable. And about 6 million jobs. And so it was a sick patient. It went through an operation on Liberation Day.
While speaking at an event in Virginia today, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said the tariffs will likely cause inflation to go higher.
We have stressed that it will be very difficult to assess the likely economic effects of higher tariffs until there is greater certainty about the details, such as what will be tariffed, at what level and for what duration, and the extent of any retaliation from our trading partners. While uncertainty remains elevated, it is now becoming clear that tariff increases will be significantly larger than expected. And the same is likely to be true of the economic effects, which will include higher inflation and slower growth.
Meanwhile, President Trump went on social media and said this would be a perfect time for an interest rate cut.
China pushing back on the new U.S. tariffs with an additional 34% charge on all U.S. imports. In total, the new tariffs on Chinese goods are at 54%. Chinese officials said the U.S. tariffs are a blatant violation of World Trade Organization rules.
American Soybean Association Chairman Josh Gackel says China's new retaliatory tariffs are raising serious concerns among U.S. soybean growers, echoing the trade tensions of 2018-2019.
It's led to a pretty immediate price loss in the market for soybeans and other commodities, but it also created a long-term trade situation where that loss of that market access and China looking to invest and work with other suppliers, mostly Brazil and other suppliers of what they need. And, there was that China phase one deal that the previous administration worked on, but we never fully, never fully recovered from the loss of that market access from then.
Gackel warning that once markets are lost, they're very difficult to regain.
When you start to lose this market access in markets that we've been working in for decades, you can lose that quickly, and it takes quite a bit of time to get it back. So again, just trying to share that message and say that this is important for farmers and for rural America to work through it and try and find a solution.
Grain markets mostly lower, soybeans leading the way down. Bauer Trading Account Executive Ben Cash says it's all a reaction to China's announced 34% reciprocal tariffs on all imports from the U.S.
Is the news about China, if you don't have China in your markets, you don't really have too much of a market, at this point. They just consume so much. So, that was definitely some devastating news there for the soybean market and oil market and, stock market in general.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley introducing a bill that would require congressional approval for any new tariffs. Grassley, who is Republican, did not criticize President Trump's tariff trade policy. However, Grassley said the Constitution gives Congress authority over trade issues and abandoned that power over time.
North Dakota Farmers Union President Mark Watney says rural residents were left behind in the latest round of property tax relief discussions at the North Dakota state level.
We tried really hard to get, kind of additional dollars that was given to a primary residence to be a percentage off of rural property taxes, and we were unsuccessful in getting that done. I'm a little disappointed. Worked pretty hard to keep the property taxes as one of the tools for raising funding for infrastructure, and now farmers might not be that happy that they're not getting any relief.
And Watney described the process as frustrating, pointing to disagreements between state leaders and a lack of resolution.
There was some disagreement between what the governor wanted and what the legislature wanted, so it got really, to me, somewhat messy. So it appears like the primary residents, and I'm not quite sure if they've got that all resolved totally, but There will be a little bit less than the governor wanted, and then there will be some bottom end to it where it can't just go to nothing.
The amendments to the House bill lower the maximum credit from $1,450 to $1,250 and cap it at 75% of a homeowner's tax bill with a $500 minimum credit. Governor Armstrong has proposed a $1,550 credit.
Heavy rains will continue to cause flooding from central Missouri through Kentucky and Ohio through tomorrow, where rainfall totals of 3 to 6 inches will be common. World Weather Incorporated says regular rounds of rain will continue through next week, preventing floodwaters from receding once the current snow system moves out of the northern plains. World Weather says conditions will be mostly uneventful through the coming week. Temperatures expected to be mainly in the 40s and 50s through the weekend before warming next week.
Regular rounds of rain and thunderstorms will occur through western Brazil and Paraguay over the next 2 weeks. World Weather Incorporated saying the rain will slow the drying rates for the safrinha crop, but many areas will likely dry down and need more rain. Northern Brazil will miss most of the rain, and World Weather says Argentina will also see more sunshine than rain over the next couple of weeks.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins will be visiting 6 international markets in her first 6 months to strengthen trade relationships and expand U.S. agricultural exports. With the agricultural trade deficit nearing $50 billion, the USDA will work to diversify and reinforce global markets while holding trade partners accountable. Rollins' planned visits include Vietnam, Japan, India, Peru, Brazil, and the United Kingdom. Additional USDA trade missions this year will include stops in Hong Kong, the Dominican Republic, Taiwan, and Mexico.
The South Dakota FFA convention is underway in Brookings. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson is there.
Coverage of the 2025 South Dakota FFA State Convention is sponsored by South Dakota Farmers Union, South Dakota Corn Utilization Council, and Full Circle Ag. Speaking with Langford Area FFA Advisor Anna Marie Sachs, talk to me a little bit about this year's crop of FFA kids and how things are going this year.
So this year for our chapter, we had our highest number of involved members since the chapter rechartered about 3 years ago. So we had actually about 35 students in our chapter of about 58 kids that went out for CDE contests, helping with events. And this year we brought 20 kids to state. We had 4 teams and 3 individuals, as well as the district officers that we have, as we currently have the district president and district student advisor in our chapter. I think the thing that stands out to me the most is this year, I feel like the kids feel a lot of confidence going into their contest. You know, when you're first starting a program or a contest or a CDE, the kids aren't really sure what they're doing. They're a little nervous. So as an advisor, it's my job to help them find an area that they excel in, help them develop their skills and become better leaders. Whether they go into the area of their contest or not, it's growing their work as leaders, team members, and communication. So I think we have finally hit that spot where the kids feel confident in their contests, but as well as achieving some really great things. This is probably one of the first years that we're actually bringing home a lot of hardware, plaques, awards for our chapter, which gives the students added confidence and they want to continue to do well.
Coverage of the 2025 South Dakota FFA State Convention is sponsored by South Dakota Farmers Union, South Dakota Corn Utilization Council, and Full Circle Ag. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
National Association of State Departments of Agriculture setting its priority agenda for the year with the passage of a new farm bill at the top of that list, and nobody's surprised, but there are others on there as well. CEO Ted McKinney says partnerships like those between the federal and state governments are an area of concern.
When cuts are coming on those areas or the people that perform in those areas, we're kind of interested. So we're not wringing our hands yet, because we still think that those are likely to be sustained and maybe even replenished. But we're in that gray zone, that fog area where we don't really know, which is where a lot of this is these days. So we have to keep that going, because it's our food safety at many, many levels that's in question.
McKinney also stressing the need for trade and especially diversification.
Mike, the plus-ups that we're getting through a couple of programs have been simply magnificent. If the need to diversify away from China, not leave China. We'd love to keep selling them as much as they'd like, but we have to diversify. It's probably a wise risk management strategy anyway. Well, then you better go get to know those other countries and those purchasers and those farmers and those industries there.
Taste What Pork Can Do is the new advertising tagline set to launch with consumers in May. Minnesota pork producer Gordon Spronk is a member of the National Pork Board. Spronk said this new tagline helps to showcase that pork is not the other anything. It's a flavor on the plate.
Right, whether it's tonkatsu from Japan, whether it's the barbecue space here in the United States, or whether it's the European cuts and how they prepare, or the Hispanic cuts, there's many, many different ways to prepare pork, and we've just simply not scratched the surface yet. And this campaign will not only focus on that generational difference, but focus on the potential culturally. Because around the world, pork is still the number one consumed meat.
The Pork Checkoff, celebrating its 40th year, and this campaign launches another milestone in its mission to invest funds in research, education, and promotion.
Producers need to understand that those forefathers in that generation, they were wise in their decisions, seeing the need for an organization that focused specifically on a couple of things, and one of them being the promotion of our product, the pork, the meat we produce. We've done a nice job of focusing on our international exports, and we previously have done a pretty good job of our domestic demand. Well, now it's time to refocus on domestic demand, and this campaign kicks that off.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Noah Fish. Noah, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
On this week's Ag Week cover story, we have a feature on Snowpack Foods, a Caledonia, Minnesota company owned by fourth-generation farmers Pete and Nick Gengler. The Gengler family are not only pioneers in the frozen organic fruit and vegetable industry, but also in the refrigeration industry dating back to the early 1900s when they stored ice in huge warehouses and delivered it door-to-door and by rail. Today, the two brothers operate around 2,000 acres of certified organic farmland to supply the business, which also collaborates with around 30 partner farms. Snowpack Foods has a product line of about 25 different frozen items grown in the region, ranging from peas, green beans, edamame, beets, potatoes, cranberries, and a lot more. They employ around 60 people, most of which are from the Caledonia area. Snowpack's processing facility is around 60,000 square feet. Gengler said it's probably the largest strictly organic processor in the state, producing 10 million pounds of product annually.
Thanks, Noah. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
USDA launching 4 ag trade promotion programs for fiscal year 2026, opening applications for initiatives aimed at expanding global market opportunities for U.S. producers, market access program, foreign market development program, technical assistance for specialty crops program, and emerging markets program will provide over $250 million annually to support export growth and address trade barriers. Applications open until June 6th of this year. Looking at the numbers right now, we're looking at Minneapolis wheat in May down 7.25, 584. In Chicago, May we're down 7.5, 528.5. Kansas City, May down 12.5, 556.5. May corn is up 2.5 now at 460. December down 2, 445.5. May soybeans down 35 at 976.5. November down 32.75, 984.25. April live cattle down 507, 202.97. The feeders in April down 587 at 279.72. May down 825 at 274.87. April lean hogs down 10, 87.27. May down 345, 85.12. This is the Red River Farm Network.